Okay, help me out here. Give me a verse. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Yeah. You know, and we look at that and we think about that, and you know, it's not what we've done. But you back up to verse 4 of Titus chapter 3, it says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. To become heirs and to think of eternal life. You know, when Margaret came in today, I was thinking, she's 91. You know, and just a child in comparison to eternity. Because we can't even begin to fathom the length of eternity, because we don't think in those realms. Now, she's part of the New Testament because she's living under grace. Yeah, age, you know, a drop in the bucket, 91. God understands, question 5, God understands that man is just human and will not hold him responsible for his sins. Yeah, very false. And what is the biblical response to that? God understands that man is just human and will not hold him responsible for his sins. But according to my Bible, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 6:23. You know, Eve couldn't help it. Adam couldn't help it. Oh yeah, they could have. Yeah, they could have. Verse number 6. Only those who do bad things, like murder someone, will go to hell. Huh? James chapter 2, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You know, people look at, you know, and we talked a little briefly this morning that there's 10 of those, thou shalt not, you know. But you go through Scripture and there's a lot more than 10. But the Word of God says that if you break just one of those, you're guilty of all of those. Verse number 7, everyone who does not accept Christ as their Savior will go to hell. Where's that found? John 3:3. You know, people do ask some of these questions. You know, I've dealt with a number of people who, you know, believe I've lived a good life, so God's going to accept me because of my good life. No. And then you show them Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Number 8 says, God demonstrated his love for mankind by sending Jesus to die on the cross. Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his own love toward us, then that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. That's 9. That's Romans 5:9. Number 9 says, all men are born sinners and rebel against God. Yeah. And you would go where? Mm-hmm. 311, 323, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, that's 23 and 24. 311 says, there is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. We're all born sinners, courtesy of our great grandparents. However many greats they go back, but... Number 10, no man has ever measured up to God's perfect standard. What did you put down? No one has ever. No man has ever measured up. Except he was born without sin. But he was God. Because Jesus is God. Yeah, he was perfect in every way. Right. Okay. Now let's look at the bottom half of these questions here. What must be true of anyone who enters the kingdom of God? According to John 3:3. You must be born again. What did those who were bitten by the snake have to do to be cured? Turn and look at the snake on the pole. And today they still use that symbol where? Medical department, medical people still have that snake on the pole. How was Jesus lifted up like the snake in the desert, according to John 3:14? Hanging on the cross. Yep. John 3:14 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes, this is 15, in him should not perish but have eternal life. So just as that snake on the pole was set out there, and if they looked at it, they could be saved, the Son of God was lifted up on a pole, lifted up on a tree, so that those who believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. Number 14, God loved the world so much he did what? Yeah, he sent his son to die on the cross for us. You know, and when you think about how difficult that must have been for him to do that for us, And verse number 15 says, why did God send his son into the world? What's that? Yeah, it was not to condemn the world, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When he came this time, he did not come to judge. The next time he comes back, he will come back as judge. He came as savior of the world this time. 16, who's condemned and who is not condemned? He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And, you know, we need to, I thought it was appropriate that we did that song, I'll Tell the World That I'm a Christian, and I think by our actions people can see Christ in us, and when we have to speak, we need to speak clearly. And I think that as we have a desire, or we should have a desire, we should have a passion to see people get saved, that we have to know how to tell them from God's word. And you know, you can go to Romans, or you can go to John. I mean, nothing else, open up to John chapter 3. And you can show them their need for a Savior in John 3. Go through Romans. You know, and that's really what this was. This was just a small exercise. Because I've heard it before that, you know what, I've been good my whole life. I'm going to get to go to heaven because I've been good, because God won't send me to heaven. Well, but people have that conception, and unless we can show them from the Word of God, and, you know, there are people today who think, well, if I go to church, if I do all the right things, then God will let me in. Well, that's not true either. And we have to be able to defend what we believe, and we have to be able to go to God's word and say, this is what the Bible says, this is truth. And we talked about that this morning. We don't change. You know, the very first thing Eve did was she changed the wording, you know, when she says, well, don't touch it. Well, that's not what God said. God said don't eat it. You know, people like to change what the truth is because they don't want to believe the truth. But we can show them the truth in love and kindness so that they can come to know Christ as their Savior. Because as he says, he did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. It's what he came for. It's what he gave his life for. That should be our passion. That should be one of our passions, is to see people come to know Christ as their Savior, and then help them to grow and train them up. And we're seeing some new believers coming in. You know, that it's kind of fun because they're like little sponges, just sucking it up and just absorbing it. And somebody said they wish they had one of your little thing stands, because when they're reading through the daily Bible reading, and when they get to all the begot this one and begot that one, or this and this and so and so and so and so and so, they said, boy, I wish I could listen to it because I can't pronounce them. And I'm like, don't get hung up on the names, just shorten them up. Mephibosheth, you know, that was one of the words we read, one of the people we read about this week. Mephibosheth, say it three times really quick and you'll get your tongue all tied up. Call him Mephibo or something, I don't know. But don't get hung up, you know. It's important that we know who the people are and how they fit in. But, you know, Some people get bogged down because they can't pronounce all the names right. I don't pronounce a lot of them right myself. I heard somebody reading, the man who spoke at our conference last week, he read a bunch of names, and I'm like, man, that doesn't sound anything like I thought they were. But that's okay, you know. Could have been real easy to name them Bill and John and Jack and Joe and, you know, Susie and Sally. And oh, he did have a lot of Marys. But, you know, pray this week that God will put somebody in your path. I ask my students every week to pray that somebody that they go to school with, they'll have an opportunity to talk to them. And, you know, that should be what we look forward to, is God putting someone in our path. And I think sometimes He puts them there, and we just don't see them. So we need to open our eyes and open our hearts to be receptive to the people that God puts in our path. Father, we just thank You for, again, the beautiful day that You've given us to enjoy and fellowship and worshiping You together. And Father, we thank You for Your Son who You sent to die on the cross for our sins. Father, we thank You for that. We thank You for that free gift that You gave us. And Father, I just pray this week that as we go out into our mission field, go out into our neighborhood, that Father, You will put people in our path that need to hear the truth of Your word, and that we might tell them about what You've done in our life. And Father, I pray for those that are traveling tonight to the thing, that Father, You will give them safety. Father, we think of Paul and Deb and the kids right now, and Lord, just pray for Paul if he comes tonight, that You'll just give him safety and travel. And Lord, just bless our time together at Bethel this evening, and we pray this in Your most precious name. Amen.